Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, you heard that right, my co-host, Miss Stacy Nyman. It's good to see you, Stacy.
Nice to see you too, Chris. I'm Stacy Audio Issues Nyman today. Hey, so hopefully we're okay through the show.
When we have a professional studio with professional setup, we'll grant ourselves a little grace. But for right now, we'll work through it. No problem. We got hot off the presses. We're going to do a show that was probably due about 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, but we're going to get to it now. No. Yeah, exactly. But before we do, been a while, hit us. What do you got? Give us something good.
Yeah, I'll just give you kind of like a general Nyman life update, because I know it's like everybody's waiting for this. Everything's going good. We have Britta just did our fun run at school, so that was really cute. She was excited to do that. And then Griffin is thriving in his sophomore year of high school, joining a bunch of clubs and just having fun going to football games and stuff. And then the two college Nymans are also doing super well. I think they're doing okay academically, from what I can understand. They've got it covered. And then just seem to be having fun in college. And Sophie's enjoying cheering for we always make fun of her because she likes to point out that she's a Division I cheerleader. So we can't just ever say that she's a cheerleader, a college cheerleader. She's a Division I cheerleader. So we have to always specify that. So she's having fun doing that. And then Scott and I are just working a lot, and we had this ceiling cave in back in June, and we finally have our support beam installed after waiting for months and months and months for the city of Chicago to approve the permits to do this. So we no longer have a giant pole sitting in the middle of the living room holding the ceiling up, but we now have a very rusty steel support beam that we can't touch until the city of Chicago comes back to do their final inspection. So we're kind of still piecemealing our living room together, but that's just been, it's just like what one thing after another, but we're all, you know, happy and healthy, and that's all that matters. So
I have follow-up questions. Are you ready for follow-up questions?
Ready.
Okay. So if you have kids, more than, well, even one kid qualifies, but if you have multiples, and Lord knows you do, your life is a circus, not you, but like family lives are circuses.
Right.
And it's like, keep moving forward the best you can. A lot of crazy stuff swirls in the air, and you just kind of put your head down and say, nope, we just got to get from point A to point B and do the best you can. So
somehow you just make it through each day and you just get to the next one. And you know, whatever happens in the middle happens in the middle. So
exactly.
How about you? What's going on in your life?
Well, hang on. Don't rush me now. I got more follow-up questions.
You did say that. Go for it.
John and Char, how are they doing?
They are good. They came down with us to Eastern a few weeks ago, and they had fun being the grandparents and getting shown all around. So that was really fun. Otherwise, they've been watching Britta quite a bit. She's been going over after school and spending some good time with them over there. I think that they might have better snacks than we do, and she can kind of just use their Wi-Fi, and that's all. That's all that really matters for her is snacks and Wi-Fi at this point. So,
love it. Actually, let me give a little shout out to my mom as well too. My mom is, you know, she's independent. She's living on her own, and she listens to the show. I would honestly say she's probably the number one fan. She sends me feedback on every episode via text.
So does John's So we have a parental unit in both of our families who keep us on our toes. So that's
nice. Nice. So I do appreciate all the feedback, even though I may not respond to each one of them. I do appreciate all the feedback. But so here's the show we wanted to present today. So we know the announcement for Destination D23 came out about a month ago, but there was so much information. And I think in the age of media coverage for things, you just get accustomed to news. And like when news hits, it's like, oh, okay. And then you just take a blink of an eye and you're past that. And you really don't soak up the news like you should. So it took a while for us to do this because usually there's a story and then something shakes out a little bit later and then the story adds on. And it wasn't quite our motivation to delay this long, but there are 18 pieces of information released from Destination D23 that was in the contemporary in early September. And I would say probably 10 moved the Disney needle for Florida. There was some news for Shanghai and some addition to some, some Disney Cruise Line boats. But there was some heavy hitting news that impacts all vacationers. And I would say the next like 2 years down in Florida.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth doing a little deeper dive or at least getting our impressions of what's going on. So you want to go piece by piece here? We'll rifle through the news story if that's cool with you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So if you type in Destination D23 2023, you pull up a lot of sites, right? You've got Disney Food Blog. You've got WDW News. You've got a lot of sites. But I want the actual source. So I literally went to disneyparks.disney.go. I could also go to the D23 site. But you'll find that like there's a lot of things, just a sentence posted. But then there's no follow-up sentence.
Right.
Whereas, you know, like Disney Food Blog might have, interesting. Liver Lips has been replaced and renamed, same character, different name. And like you might not catch that on the initial flyer. So we're going to go through just though from the Disney park because we want to get the actual unvarnished story and then talk about it if you don't mind. So
yeah, that's great.
All right. Josh D'Amaro takes the stage 9:15 and it's like, hey, we're underway. First announcement, 9:25, Star Tours, that Ahsoka is going to become part of the Star Tours attraction at Hollywood Studios and in Disneyland, California and Disneyland Paris beginning next spring. Ahsoka is the new series on Disney Plus. Stacy, move the needle at all for you for Star Tours and the introduction of the character. They can't see your scrunchy face audibly, Stacy.
No, I always enjoy new things, and even if I don't have prior knowledge of this Disney Plus show, just because I haven't watched it, I can still appreciate new things, and it sometimes will spark my interest to dive deeper. Mm-hmm. Star Tours is one of the rides that I need to take some medication for before I go on it, so it's kind of one that I skip sometimes. But I'm always up for new features on attractions. So I would be excited and I would go and see this because there's something new on it. So
exactly. It might regentrify an older ride and put a new spin on it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been immensely popular. So I'm not casting any shade towards the series on Disney Plus. It's been immensely popular. So it just makes sense to bring the character in, you know.
Exactly. And I love when they changed it to the kind of roulette of what you don't know what scene, what story you're going to get on that attraction, that does make it very rideable and exciting. So just adding more to it, I think it's a good attraction.
Also, as a dad of two girls, really good to see some females moved into the Disney parks that aren't princesses.
Cool. I didn't even know it was a female. No knowledge.
Yeah. So, but like really cool to not have it be a Belle type character and it's a different character. So,
that is definitely a hit. So I do love that. That's great.
All right. 9:26, 1 minute later, a character named Asha from the new Walt Disney Animation Studios film Wish will also soon show up at Epcot, the Disneyland Resort and Disneyland Paris. Haven't seen it, but there is a new introduction for a character named Asha. So
good. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I love it when they add new movie characters for character meet and greets, though, because just this new generation of kids, these are going to be their movies that they love. And I love it. Because I can remember when there was, I don't even remember which one it was, but there was some Disney movie that didn't do super well, which is probably why I don't remember it. But they had a character meet and greet when Britta was like 3 years old, and she was so excited about it. I can't remember what it was now. But well, those are just so important, you know?
It's a good point, because we're going to hit a story later on, and we're going to essentially talk about Bug's life being moved out with Zootopia kind of being moved in. And so you think, but like Zootopia is like an older movie. Why would the motivation be there to move that, you know, put that character in the parks? And you realize they're trying to hit all the age demographics, right? So you got Mickey, right? And so you got your grandparents, and Mickey's the boss, so everyone loves Mickey. And you've got some older movies represented for a little older demographic. And the characters of Anna and Elsa, as much as you think they're newer releases, those young ladies are becoming, you know, young brides at this point and moving into that step, and that will draw them. And then this character, you know, Asha, that is for the young. So if you don't figure out your touch points to continue to draw in revenue sources, you'd be dead in the water. So I like that. I do enjoy that. All right. 9:34, a sneak peek here. It's a picture of the world's first Frozen themed land debuting at Hong Kong Disneyland in November is being shown. The World of Frozen, inspired by Walt Disney Animation Studios' stunning films, will blend Arendelle with the park's natural surroundings, and the audience is getting first peek. So they're talking about like a coaster that looks very similar to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but obviously Frozen themed. And just it looks like Norway. I mean, it looks like freaking Norway.
I know. I was looking at the photos, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. Like I love it when they do that, when they create like a little town inside of some place.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, 9:39, a few minutes later, the old Hatbox Ghost has been promised. Now, have you kind of been caught up with this Hatbox Ghost thing? I mean, they have it in California. Okay, I get it. I do get it. They have it over there. We don't have it over here. We need it. We need it so very bad. It's got to show up.
Oh, yes.
It's a character. We get you. Okay, haunted, but the Haunted Mansion, it goes right into people's hearts. Like, it is part of their soul as a Disney fan. Well, the Hatbox.
Did you see the movie?
Yep.
So that I think that that's a really good play for them to add this character, because there's so many people that I've heard just kind of talking online who are not Disney fans, but who have now seen Haunted Mansion and they're connecting to that. So having this very important character from the movie now in this attraction is a great move, I think.
Okay. So the Hatbox Ghost is coming to the Haunted Mansion in Florida in late November. So there was the Disney Imagineer, Daniel Joseph, is joined on stage to talk about this. So as I understand, initially he was going to appear at the end of the, I guess it would be the long hallway. But they decided he's an unhappy haunt. He's not a happy haunt. So he's not number 1,000. He's not number 999. He's going to appear in multiple spots and materialize in different spots.
That makes sense.
During the Haunted Mansion.
I like that.
So, but he is going to appear, and of course, so will the merch right afterwards, you know, all right. 9:42 at Disney's California Adventure, a new world jumping vehicle is coming to the next attraction at the Avengers campus. So this is going to be an attraction that's going to be an e-ticket type attraction, and it involves King Thanos, not Thanos, but a different version of King of Thanos in the multiverse. And it's going to be a new attraction in the Avengers campus. Stace, you started watching a few of the Marvel films.
I've seen a few.
Okay. What does this do for you? I mean, Avengers, Avengers campus. Tell me, what's your gut impression here? Let me read it to you. Brett Strong, executive creative director at Walt Disney Imagineering, is sharing an early peek of the ride vehicle featuring a design that combines elements of Tony Stark's time suits with Xandarian jump points and Wakandan technology. And it looks pretty cool. Not to mention Thanos as a character. This is King Thanos.
With a crown.
With additional armor. G.I. Joe with Kung Fu arm. It's a different character. What do you think about this?
That sounds cool. Like, it probably wouldn't be the first thing that I would be drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely would want to see it. So that sounds pretty cool.
With the web slingers in the Avengers campus and with Pim's Food and with the Tower of Terror being rethemed a couple of years ago, it's really starting to get fleshed out here. And this attraction, I mean, yeah, it needed one more. It's going to get one. Yeah, more.
I think so too.
So really cool. I'm a fan. Absolutely. It would draw me there. It may be the reason why it draws me there.
Is to see this attraction. Exactly.
So, all right. 944. I see this big old poster for Grizzly Hall for the Country Bear Musical Jamboree. And people are like, oh, Chris, you're the Country Bears A number one fan. How you feel about this? And I'll save that thought.
Okay. But,
you know, Liver Lips McGraw is now Romeo McGraw. Okay. So they've named him Romeo, but still featuring Henry, Big Al, Wendell, Teddy Bera, Trixie. So here's the story. So the Country Bear Jamboree is getting new songs and the Bears will be performing a new act in 2024. Disney Imagineer Chris Beatty is on stage with Josh and says, when the show debuts, the Bears will be reinterpreting favorite Disney songs in different genres of country music. Wait a minute. There are more than one genre of country music? I didn't know this. Someone educate me, please, on this. Imagineers are envisioning the new experience as an homage to the classic musical reviews in Nashville, and they're working with Nashville musicians to get the authentic country sound. Okay. Don't worry, the Country Bears will still have fun and friendly tones the fans will enjoy with the same famous characters. Okay. So what do you think about this? Because let's be honest, Country Bears is not politically incorrect, but it's sure ain't politically correct. Yeah. But it was part of the lovability of the attraction was how, oh my goodness, it is.
I have thoughts on this. I personally am not happy with the fact that they're doing current like songs that are currently known. So I don't know what songs they're choosing. Hopefully if they say classics, it's real legit classics. Like from some time ago, I would much rather have brand new songs to learn and to love and to, you know, that kind of thing. I don't want this to become like a Disney sing-along with classic songs. I would love it to eventually be a sing-along with these new songs that people learn from the attraction, kind of like it was now. That's my thing. Like, I'm not super excited about them revamping old songs.
I'll be happy if they do this. I don't need it to be the same. I still need to hear Blood in the Saddle. I don't even need it to hear every song, but I would like to have references mixed throughout.
Yes.
And I like it to be just as corny and just as cheesy. And, you know, if they can pull that off, I'm okay with the changes. I really am because everything needs to be changed, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm completely cool with it. As long as it's done in a way where it's still fun, it's still whimsical and doesn't feel like it's been changed for change's sake because, you know, and not that Red was in the Pirates of the Caribbean, but I felt like Red, it was a quick approach to how to be recast Red, you know, in the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. So, all right, 948. A new Pirates of the Caribbean themed lounge is coming to Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom Park in Florida. And we referred to this back in the last show with Cassandra and Rick. There's a new lounge coming. It's going to feature, well, not going to feature, but one of the main influences is going to be Barker Bird. It's going to be the, you know, the green bird with the pirate hat. A first of its kind experience will extend the story of pirates. During the design process, more details to come. What do you think about the Pirates Lounge?
I love that. I'm excited about that. Although when Scott and I first heard about it, both of our minds went to, oh, is this going to be like a DVC lounge? Like for some reason, the word lounge did not equate to like food and drink. It seemed like a place that you could just go and sit. So when I realized that it was going to be a lounge, like where you can order food and stuff, that was made it much more appealing. So
I think the lounge is the cleaner way of saying like not the Tortuga Tavern, but essentially Disney couldn't say the bar brothel being brought to the Magic Kingdom, right?
No, I'm excited about this though. What do you think about it?
I love it. Anything that supports the pirates in pirate vernacular with pirate theming and pirate paint schemes. Yes. I absolutely would. I'm already committed to a $27 souvenir mug, even if it's plastic. So don't worry about that. All right. 9:50 a.m. A new look at what's coming to Zootopia in Shanghai Disney is being shared. It's a complete land that features Zootopia characters. Now, it's hard to get motivated behind this. We're Disney fans. But when you talk about Shanghai Disney, some of us, it's so unapproachable and it's so far off. If you're not a Disney mega fan with a lot of discretionary money to be thrown around, it seems hard to get excited about this. But I'm excited to see Zootopia being moved into the parks, exactly. You know, and I'm excited about having, you know, new ideas cast around because ideas in foreign countries sometimes become ideas in our country. And, you know, so really cool. All right. We've got a lot of announcements at Epcot, 9:51 right afterwards. So the Journey of Water is going to be open officially on October 16th. So we're talking just a few days after the show's release. There's some soft openings now, some AP, you know, right now, some DVC, like exclusive tours right now. What do you think about the Journey of Water? Have you seen pictures? I'm sure.
Excited about that. I've tried actually really hard not to look at anything to do with it because I love Moana and I want to be surprised when I see it for the first time. So, and that might be in January. We haven't decided if we're getting park tickets yet. We might just go down and not do park days for marathon weekend to save some money, but we might be able to finagle a day or two. And I hope that I can make Epcot one of those days if we go just to see that.
Well, Stacey, you probably know, but the Journey of Water is a new walkthrough experience located in World Nature, the Epcot neighborhood dedicated to understanding and preserving the balance and beauty of the natural world. Also on the same day of the 16th, Moana herself will arrive in World Nature and make her first appearance for meet and greets. So the actual Moana character. 9:57, a new nighttime spectacular at Epcot called, do you remember the name, Stace?
Oh, Luma something.
That's right. Luminous, the Symphony of Us.
No, it wasn't debut. That's a band.
It's not Lumineers, but it's okay. On December the 5th. So it's going to feature all the same fireworks, lasers, music, and spectacular. Now, what do you think about this? You're a fan of Epcot Forever? You're a fan of all the nighttime shows at Epcot?
No, I'm not really a nighttime spectacular person. Okay. But I think like Epcot better than others just because it's just easier to access it. It's I don't like crowds. So I've probably seen the Epcot show more than any other ones. I don't really have strong opinions either way.
So. I agree 100%. I like, okay, good, good. I don't know if I'll ever see it, you know, but I mean, that's just us because I think we're more, hey, we're going to be at the park at 8 o'clock. By the time that 9 o'clock rolls around, our gas tanks are on E at that point.
Yep, exactly.
So besides, leave us alone. We're old, right? That's pretty much how we roll. Potentially the most popular announcement on social media, 9:58 a.m. Also at Epcot, Test Track is going to be reimagined. So this is Test Track 3.0, essentially. Imagineers, alongside with the teams from Chevrolet, are reaching back into the history for inspiration from the original World of Motion and bringing the spirit of optimism to the next iteration of Test Track. So the picture literally looks like Test Track meets Universe of Energy, but they're going to go back probably through the history of transportation and combine that. Yeah, exactly. So, but the Test Track we have right now, people were like, hey, wait a minute. Don't take away the design of the car option. That's the coolest feature you have. Right. Is the design of the car option. What are your thoughts on the current version of Test Track? And would this make you want to go and pay a ticket to go and see it again?
You know, I like Test Track a lot. I like the first version. I like the second version. My problem with Test Track is the queue is always so long and it breaks down a lot. And so I feel like whenever we're there, it's usually the thing we skip, even though we like it, just because of that reason. And there's just other things that we would want to go to first at Rope Drop. So we definitely would go do this multiple times, probably. I'm excited for it. I think it's time for a change, and that sounds like a really good change. I hope that they can also figure out a little bit better in terms of the ride technology so that it can be up and running more often.
It is temperamental. It does break down a lot.
And then
lot.
Also you it's weather dependent too.
Yeah.
So that's the hard thing. So many attractions are not weather dependent there for good reasons, and that one is. So
can I just throw a tiny amount of shade? I do like Test Track. I think it's a cool attraction. I really do. I think it's fun. But when they talk about it being the fastest attraction on Walt Disney World property, where you're going to go 66 miles in your car over the Test Track surface, that doesn't move the needle because everyone driving home is going to be going 66 miles an hour in their vehicle. So it doesn't. I don't know. I mean, like the stopping and starting, it's called I-4. But okay, I'm being sarcastic. It is fun, but like
every time I'm on that, I think the same thing. I'm like, isn't this kind of just driving home?
It's pretty much.
I guess if I had a convertible, it'd feel different, but whatever.
and like a unique design of the seats. So
yeah.
All right. A special peek at what's to come at Disneyland Paris is being shared. In Paris, Imagineers and teams are busy transforming the studio's park. The resort's future Frozen themed land,
nice.
That highlights the kingdom of Anna and Elsa is taking shape and just a part of the exciting transformation. So it looks like literally the port of Arendelle. It looks like the castle, the kingdom is going to shape up over there. Now, Stacy, speaking from experience, the Disneyland park is fine and it's a full day of activity. The studios park in Paris, it is not. It is not. We joke about like half day parks. They are adding things to it to make it a more full experience. But a family could do that park in about 7 hours or 8 hours. So if you kind of blurred and did a couple things over again, it needs things to make it a full day experience. So
good. Well, I'm glad they're adding this then.
Yeah, it's needed. Okay. 10:03. Thomas Maslam, the president of the Disney Signature Experience, is joining Josh on stage, and they're going to talk about the Disney Cruise Line. Right now, there are three new ships in development, along with Disney's Lookout K at Lighthouse Point, a brand new island destination in the Caribbean. Nice. So along with Castaway Key, they're going to have a new experience in the Caribbean. There are new boats coming on board. I know one is the Adventure, one is the Treasure. So there's three new boats in the works for Disney Cruise Line. So we have seen that cruises, when people thought after the pandemic, are cruises still, how can we say this, profitable? Apparently so, because they've come back and they're building new boats. Yeah. So what's your desire, Stace, to get on a Disney Cruise Line? I know families changing kind of dynamics. Kids are in college, but if I offered you a cruise ship right now for 4 days or a Walt Disney World vacation for 7 days, staying at any resort, which one are you going on?
I'm going on the cruise. Okay. It's definitely very desirable for me. It's just way out of my price range at this point in my life. So maybe in the future. I mean, if I had to pick any cruise line at this point, I probably would choose Disney. This point in my life, maybe in the future it'd be a different choice, but yeah, it's out of my budget right now, but it's definitely desirable.
Cassandra Callahan was talking to me about her most recent cruise, and she was saying that, you know, as you board the boat, they call for triple diamond platinum members and this member and that member, and she recalled a woman, and she talked to her, it was on the DVC member cruise, and she was a teacher. She was a retired teacher, and she was like, she wanted it known. She had like triple diamond platinum member and like had all of her bling on. And there is a version of the world where like as a retired couple or a couple, when the kids move out, that cruise seems so much more desirable to me because honestly, for families, I still struggle to think how families can pay for this cruise, the 4 and 5 members, you know, of a family. It gets so pricey. It gets so, you know, but then again, Walt Disney World, if you took 4 people to Walt Disney World and went to the parks for 7 days, it's going to be almost as expensive.
Exactly. So,
all right. A new look at what's coming to Fantasy Springs at Tokyo Disney Resort. They certainly like the word springs. The Disney company does like springs. I'm just going to throw it out there. The 8th theme port of Tokyo Disney Sea will feature Rapunzel's Forest, Peter Pan's Neverland, and Frozen Kingdom, all inspired by the animation studio's films. Fantasy Springs is scheduled to open in 2024, and you could see more if you click on that link. Lou Mangiello said, without a shadow of a doubt, in any of the lands, in any of the parks. Tokyo Disney Sea is the best park, and he was most excited about this new land coming.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that about Tokyo Disney Sea. Like, I would love to see that someday.
Hopefully it's on the, you know, on our bucket list, you know, for you and I here. So, all right. So there's going to be some future. So they were vague on this detail about 10-15. They have like this blue sky perspective on a few attractions. They want to tell further stories of beyond Big Thunder Mountain. Similar, like, you know how Pandora got the whole massive Pandora expansion and Galaxy's Edge got the Galaxy's Edge. They wanted to do something similar to Big Thunder Mountain, but there was not a lot of concept art or anything to support this at this point. But what do you think about that in that corner of the Magic Kingdom?
That's probably pretty needed to expand that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
But look at the patch of land. How are they going to do that? How are they going to expand?
That's, I'm not an Imagineer, so I don't know. But they need
to. You got Tom Sawyer Island just sitting there with nothing going on over there. I'm just saying.
Bears, right?
Don't you dare say that. This would be the end of our relationship if we talk about removing the bears. All right. Just announced a new show based on Zootopia is being created for the Tree of Life Theater at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Remember, we're talking about It's a Bug's Life, because how old is It's a Bug's Life, Stace? What do you think? I mean, I don't have the date, but we're talking a good 20 years plus at this point.
I'm thinking, yeah, more than 20 years, I would think.
Gotcha. The current concept for the new Zootopia experience has guests visiting the different biomes you only glimpse in the film, traveling along with Judy Hopps, Nick Wilde, and other characters. When was the last time you saw It's a Bug's Life?
Probably about 20 years.
I'm sorry. When was the last time you saw It's a Bug's Life show at Animal Kingdom?
Oh, gotcha. Last January.
Oh, it's okay. So 20 years for the film, 9 months for the actual attraction.
Yeah.
Did it look good? Did it feel still relevant? Or did you look at it and think, this is a hard connection for everybody?
I think it's still relevant. It is kind of a weird place for it to be. I like that attraction mostly just to kind of chuckle at all the terrified children that are experiencing it for the first time.
Okay.
But that's usually my evil side coming out there. I think it needs a revamp. I think Zootopia is a very good choice for that space.
Been a long time since they rolled with that attraction, Stace. Since 1998, you know, so it's been a long time since they rolled with that attraction. All right. Staying at Animal Kingdom. So this is what Rick was most excited about. Walt Disney Imagineering is planning to reimagine Dinoland USA.
Yes, me too.
At Animal Kingdom to a new land, inspired by a region sometimes referred to as Tropical Americas. Okay. As part of their research, Imagineers are looking at some of the most biodiverse areas on the planet, just north and south of the equator here in the Western Hemisphere. The northern part of South America is stretching up to Central America. In the concept art, we've got some Encanto attraction in here. It looks like a renovation of Dinosaur, bringing Indiana Jones into Central America. What do you think about this? Give me your thoughts.
Really cool. I think that everybody, I mean, maybe not everybody, but I think most people probably agree that Dino Land can see better things, and that sounds like it's a great addition there. Another more habitats and things that you can add in there. I love Animal Kingdom. I think it's a great concept, and I think that fits right in.
So when the original concept of Animal Kingdom, if you remember the logo had like a dragon on it. Right. As well as other animals. It was like a celebration of animals, both imaginary and real. So the concepts of dinosaurs with dragons, and I know real, but like, you know, extinct. Okay, you squint and you're like, okay, it kind of fits in Animal Kingdom. But, you know, like Rick said in the last show, as time went along, they removed Primeval World. And the dinosaur attraction looks a little older and a little tired.
Right, exactly.
It's like, yeah, this... I kind of need to get rid of that shirt. That shirt needs to go. We need a new t-shirt, you know, here at this point. And that's what they're doing with this. So, that fits really well.
I agree. Like, I think that a dinosaur attraction does fit in Animal Kingdom, but I think it's hard to, the whole land just didn't work, you know, having a whole land around dinosaurs, but then where do you put a dinosaur attraction if you don't have a land for it? So I think it's time for something else to kind of go in there and, I think that's those sound like it's a really good choice. And they have the Indiana Jones. I wonder if they're just going to change it to Indiana Jones, like California.
With the exception of, we mentioned, it's the queue in California is, you remember the queue. The queue is like 3.5 miles long. It's not.
Yeah.
It's exaggeration. But that actually is a celebration of the attraction. You feel like you're literally walking. Little do you know, you're literally walking out of the park in the queue. And then you're emerging on the other side, you know, of the railroad. And then you come back and yada, yada, yada. All right. Last one. I want to know if this moves the needle at all in your Disney nerddom. And if people, you know, are excited about this. Figment has already started meeting characters, but it was announced Figment was going to start meeting characters like the very next day. And then sure as it could be, like the very next day, Figment's walking and Figment couldn't stay vertical. He was falling two or three times. Are you like, yeah, finally I get to go and see Figment. Is this move the needle at all for you to see Figment as a character?
I would like to see Figment as a character, depending on what the queue looks like in terms of time. Mm-hmm. Figment is a very special part of our family. We named our cat Figment, and it was Griffin's absolute favorite attraction and character for a very long time when he was little, and he was just so cute about it all. So it kind of holds a special part in our hearts, but probably go and take a couple of photos, then maybe not go back. Again, you know, it wouldn't be a must do each time, but I think that he needs to be represented, and I think that this is a good way to do it. So it'll be a cute little meet and greet, I think.
I like the way you say he needs to be represented, and I think when you look at Figment, he's a beloved character. He is beloved probably in ways like the heaviest of heavy, you know, like Donald and Mickey. I would argue that he's beloved in that way. And I think if you throw Figment on anything with an Epcot logo, maybe even a retro Epcot Odo, it's gold. It's merchandise gold.
It sure is.
Though I'm not sure if like he's going to make anyone go to Epcot more than the first time, like you said, right. but he is there and he's represented. So give the man some clear path too. Good heavens. Take the steps away from this poor guy.
Right.
So that was pretty much the announcement. This is not now what I've learned. I'm a Disney fan. But, you know, D23 Expo in Anaheim, Destination D23 is the East Coast version. Obviously, it's not the same thing, but they didn't expect a whole lot of announcements. And they got 18 announcements. Some were played on before. Some were referred to before, old hat box and whatnot. But there were some new things as well. So I think as Disney fans, though, to get the information and to get inundated on one day, it's almost like paralysis of information when they hit you up with so many things. If they were to release these individually over the course of like every month, there was a new piece, be like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But even here, we've talked about Moana, and like there are little girls right now that are like, their hearts are melting. They want to go see Epcot, but it kind of got buried, you know, in the story there. So, but what story moved you the most out of everything I said? What was the one that really got you most interested?
The Pirates Lounge.
I think so too. Maybe the World of Motion, but the Pirates Lounge. I agree with you. Okay. All right. So we're asking you, you know, of the stories, I know you've been exposed to them for over a month now and you heard us. What was the story that really motivated you, that really piqued your interest when these announcements were made? You know, let us know in our listener group. It's called EDCOT, EDCOT. We'd certainly like to hear your thoughts on this as well. And again, we realize by the time we record this, there might be new stories. And that's the world of Disney news. You could never stay ahead of it. You're always trailing from behind. So anyways, for my co-host Stacey and for myself, I'd like to thank you. And we want to wish you a great day.
Bye, everyone.